You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. For the first time in 35 years, Michigan's 9th Congressional District will soon be represented by someone who is not named Sander Levin. The longtime congressman announced he's retiring at year's end. His son, Andy Levin, is running as the Democratic candidate, and we spoke with him on yesterday's show. On the Republican side of the ticket is Candace Stearns, who is with us now. Candace, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, Cynthia.
So what compelled you to make the choice to run for Congress and represent the 9th?
Well, I have been a working-class mom, wife, and small business owner for the past 20-some years, and I grew up right here in southeast Michigan, and I've worked very hard, and I've had my own good times and bad, just like a lot of the working-class families, and this is basically why I'm running. I'm going to represent the hardworking, caring people who want to see their congressperson actually make a positive difference in the 9th and bring some of the tax dollars back to our district.
Now, you've been in the insurance business and had, you know, your own small business, and you've got some 20 years in the insurance business. How has that experience, Candace, shaped your views on health care and our economy?
Well, originally, when I got into the insurance business back in the early 90s, I really was able to bring a lot of ideas and assistance to not only the individuals with tons of different choices in the kinds of health insurance they could purchase. But also, healthcare was a lot more affordable back then. I used to be able to sit down with a small business owner who typically would employ 10 to 20 employees, and I could sell them a traditional Blue Cross and Blue Shield plan for about $130 a family. And it was a plan that didn't have a network, that you had to see a certain doctor, and it was a plan with a $3 drug card. And those days have been gone now for quite some time.
And healthcare costs, I mean, the cost of delivering medicine and doing procedures, that's gone up a lot since the 1990s.
Sure. And I know the Affordable Care Act's original concept was to make healthcare affordable. But really what it did is it was just basically insurance reform, governmental compliance, and tax. That's really what was delivered. And we saw the effects of the full effects of the ACA on January 1st of 2014, when the majority of our healthcare plans had to go through changes and received about an 8% tax across the board, because there's about 10 different types of tax that have been built into our insurance plans. And although there were some good parts of the Affordable Care Act, like insurance companies can't discriminate against pre-existing conditions and things like that, those types of benefits I don't want to see removed. But there's quite a bit that can be removed from the ACA. And
Do you support repealing the ACA?
So at this point, I don't think the word repealing the ACA is the right approach. What has to really happen is we have to make changes and fixes to a lot of the legislation that's been added into it since it began. For example, there's quite a bit of transparency that's missing in medical costs themselves when it comes to fee schedules and things of that nature. The American people don't often know what their cost of care is going to be until they receive a bill in the mail 2 weeks later. And that's a real problem. That's a real problem for all of us, especially those when we're sick. We don't feel like we have the opportunity to necessarily shop around. But if we could get clear-cut answers when we're making scheduled procedures, which a lot of our care is scheduled, then I think it would help the American people tremendously.
How do you lower health care costs, ensure people with pre-existing conditions are not denied coverage, and prevent the millions who did get coverage through the ACA from losing their health insurance?
Well, the people who are currently getting insurance, most of Americans get their health care through their employers. 155 million people get their health care through employers.
True, but there's many, many people who, thanks to Healthy Michigan, let's talk about that 670,000 some in Michigan who didn't have it, and thanks to Healthy Michigan, they do now.
Sure, and I'm not necessarily saying that. We don't need to make changes to the program itself, because I think we do. I think we can make the healthcare itself a lot more affordable by looking at the actual fees. Schedules that are being charged, because these programs that are being subsidized currently by the state have different fee schedules that the providers and hospitals charge than they do, for example, in the private insurance market. And the way that you can help drive down cost is to actually make the actual providers compete and have some more free market within the actual medical field itself. For example, prescriptions are that way right now. When there's no one saying, hey, let's have a competitive bid process go on for something very commonly used for diabetics, for example, like insulin, then the pricing gets out of control because there isn't any competition within that, because people rely on the actual insurance plan to cover the majority of that stuff. And when there's a fix on the fee schedules, you're not going to be able to bring the pricing down.
I want to pivot over to spending. On your website, you write, "I'm ready to change Washington's spending addiction." And you also have said on the campaign you want to see more tax dollars being brought back to the Ninth. What would you like to see more federal spending on for the Ninth?
Well, we definitely need to take a look at the dollars that are coming back in infrastructure. Obviously, roads are a huge issue in Michigan, and as I'm spending time knocking doors and visiting the community, one of the top complaints that we have in Macomb and Oakland County are the roads. But we also need to be cognizant of the waterways that are underneath our roads, because some of these pipes and waterways are over 60 and 70 years old. So we're going to need infrastructure dollars, and we're going to need to make sure that the dollars that are available on the federal side actually come into Michigan. And we need a congressman, and we also need senators to fight for Michigan to see some of those dollars brought into our state.
To the point of your statement, "I'm ready to change Washington's spending addiction," I should point out the White House's Office of Management and Budget, the OMB, in its mid-year review said the federal budget deficit under President Trump is going to hit $1 trillion next year. The National Review notes Trump tax cuts have cut federal revenues by some $230 billion already and an expected $2.3 trillion over 10 years. And federal spending under President Trump is up by 7.5%, almost $300 billion. Republican Michigan Congressman Justin Amash tweeted the post-2016 Republican Party, in his words, has abandoned even the pretense of fiscal conservatism. What should we do about this?
Well, I think we need to take a look at the transparency and cost in all areas of government. Some of the biggest fraud, waste, and abuse is happening in our healthcare. And as a healthcare person, I can tell you that there's a lot of wasting and spending that's going on in our healthcare system. And that's one area that I think we can look at specifically that I have some experience in, and we can help reduce spending in that area. And healthcare happens to be almost 18% of our gross domestic product. So that's a huge area that we can look at and bring some transparency to and help reduce costs right there.
Do you support President Trump's tax cuts program and his spending, and would you welcome an endorsement from President Trump?
Absolutely. I appreciate what he's done with pushing forward the Jobs Act and tax cut that Congress signed in, and what that's done for us here locally in Warren specifically is Fiat Chrysler is bringing back 2,250 jobs into our area in the manufacturing world. So that's going to be a huge boost to our economy here locally in Macomb County, as well as other manufacturing jobs that are going to come from that just because of the Tier 1 and Tier 2 and Tier 3 suppliers that are in our area currently. And absolutely, I would welcome President Trump's endorsement.
There is an ongoing debate about immigration reform in our country. What reforms would you like to see?
Well, immigration is one of those huge areas, like healthcare, that needs an overhaul. In fact, A lot of attorneys and CPAs that I talk to will say that the immigration law is more complicated than our tax code, which in my opinion says a lot coming from a CPA. and we really need to simplify immigration. I think immigration itself could be simplified by having three channels instead of five. For example, if we had skilled workers as a category, family-based relationships as a category, and then humanitarian refugee folks as a category, it would make it much easier for us to streamline the actual process to make legal immigration something that's obtainable for those who are coming from poor countries, for example. Currently, a person who's looking to get into the United States has to have an attorney and has to have dollars, you know, thousands of dollars to actually apply in most cases. And it makes it hard for them and kind of opens up that illegal way because, not having dollars to get here and needing to have these funds and help from an attorney is a real barrier for people who are trying to come to the United States.
The country is very divided now, and it's stressing people out on all sides of the political spectrum. What role do you think elected leaders in Washington should be playing in bringing this country closer together?
You know, I had an opportunity to talk about community when I was at a Jewish forum just a couple of days ago, and they actually specifically asked me about hate and this visceral attitude that both people on the right and the left are having. And I really think as a community, we need to be kinder and have more empathy towards one another and actually have conversations. Everything starts with getting to know where another person's coming from. Until you've walked in that person's shoes, it's difficult for you to understand their perspective. And today, I think too many people are using our technology and our 240 character tweets to try to have meaningful conversation, and that's just not the way to go about it. When you have ideas that are as complicated as immigration and tax reform and healthcare, you're not going to get your ideas across in 240 characters. You need to be open to having a cup of coffee and having real dialogue and a conversation with people.
In our final few seconds, what are voters getting by choosing you over your opponent, Andy Levin?
I actually will make sure that I reach across the aisle on both sides to have real conversations with people and make sure that we can get some results and some things done. We don't have time to wait for a 2 to 3 year turnaround for people to actually have an opportunity to get some things done here. We need to bring results today, and we need to have the ability to walk across the aisle and say, we need to get things done in immigration. We need to get things done in healthcare, and we need to move the economy forward right now, because people rely on their paychecks every single week, and it's important for us to keep that in mind.
Candace Stearns, GOP candidate for Michigan's 9th Congressional District. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.